Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hour number two of the Rob Brown Show goes now. This is the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen.
Would you like a hug? I mean, you probably don't want one from me right now, but I mean, I could arrange a hug from the guy who just left the room.
No, me and Cap are square. We're good. If you don't know what we're talking about, and you don't.
You just got mad pushing the button.
No, I got mad because my computer is being a DA right now, and I'm very frustrated by it.
All the more reason to get him back in here. Would you like me to send him an email?
No, we're good. Okay. We're good. He's got his coming. Chris Evans stuck a magnet on the back of the Bronco that says, "You just lost the game." And I've been driving around with it on my car for apparently two damn full days now without recognizing it, which I don't back into parking spots. So that makes sense. And it was only discovered yesterday evening by my fiance, who then got mad at me because she lost the game. Not lost the game for
it
years.
It is your fault that she lost, because if you would have found it before then and taken it off your car, but you have decided to leave it on your car.
Oh, I'm leaving it on now.
Which means so you made her lose.
I am going to lose the game on a regular basis, but so is everyone who drives around me in traffic and her. You're all going down.
Okay, so I don't understand the game completely, but if you were to take the magnet off your car and then put it back on, then technically you have placed it there, so then you wouldn't be able to lose the game, right?
No, that's not how the game works.
So if you write it down and then you read it, you lost?
The game is you lose when you think about the game. That's the game. When you think about the game, you have lost the game. And you must announce that you have lost the game. And if you think about the game, the only appropriate thing to do, my favorite part of the game is if you lose the game, you take down everybody else by telling them that you lost the game, which makes them think about the game, which makes them lose
all
the
right,
game.
All right, so in that vein, though, in order to make someone else lose the game, you have to think about the game. And you're saying if you think about the game, you lose the game.
Correct.
So making someone else lose the game, you're losing the game because you have to think about it to make them lose the game.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, correct. I don't know how to there's no other way. There's no other way to explain it. That's how you explain it. That's the game. And yes, Chris got me in the most creative way that I've ever lost the game. It was brilliant. It was brilliant, and he's getting it back. All right, we got a lot to get to. We got to go through the college football weekend upcoming, get to our picks. We got the audio blitz coming up here in an hour, some of the best audio that we found across social media over the last 24 hours and more, all coming up on the show, but it's 7:03, almost 7:04 in the morning. You're ticking ever closer to having to get to work, having to get logged in, having to fire those email replies back off, having to start work on that project, and having to pretend like you care about work when we are 24 hours away from it being college football Saturday. That's okay, because you know what you get to do? You get to take a break. You get to walk down the hallway. You get to go hang out with your coworkers, and you get to talk about sports. And if you're going to talk about sports, you got to know what's going on. And if you got to know what's going on, you need this. It's the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet Top 3 Sports Stories you need to know before you get to the office this AM and start talking sports. When you do, gather around the water cooler. This is what you will be talking about. Let us begin with item number one. As it will be for the foreseeable future, because it's football season, my dudes and my dudettes. Friday morning's Water Cooler Cheat Sheet begins with the box score from Thursday night's NFL game. Josh Allen and his Bills knock off the Miami Dolphins 31-10. Your final, the Bills have now defeated the Dolphins 12 of the last 13 times that these two teams have gotten together. Enough times that even I would say, yeah, it's not so much a rivalry right this very second. Josh Allen, 13 of 19, a buck 39, and a tutty through the air for a 79.5 QBR, the definition of average. It was the run game. James Cook, 11 carries, 78 yards, and a pair of touchdowns. And the defense that carried the day for Buffalo, 3 picks last night of Tua Tagovailoa. Jamarcus Ingram had 2 of them, 1 of them a pick 6. Christian Benford had the other 3 INTs for the Buffalo Bills defense. But the story of the game, undoubtedly, Tua Tagovailoa left the game in the third quarter with his 4th diagnosed concussion in the past 5 years. He had 1 in his final season with the University of Alabama. He had 2 in a single season, and now he suffered his 4th diagnosed last night. That does not take into consideration any other head injuries that he may have suffered that were undiagnosed. Tagovailoa was running the football for a first down, went headfirst across the line to gain, and was met by safety Damar Hamlin, who hit him in the head, not intentionally, not maliciously. It was just a football play, and unfortunately, Tua Tagovailoa very clearly was KO'd on the field, went back into that infamous fencer's pose, was immediately removed from the field and from the game, will undergo protocols today, including MRIs on his brain to see the extent of the damage and what it might look like. We talked about this a little bit earlier. I am not the guy who thinks it's appropriate for me to tell a professional athlete when it's time to hang it up. Tua, it's time to hang it up. Time to hang it up, my guy. Tua Tagovailoa, phenomenal guy. I've had the chance to interact and interview him in the past. He is a very, very kind person. He is a very generous person. He is a person that I hate to see have his career come to an end due to circumstances outside of his control. But it has to. I can't feel good. I can't feel good about putting this guy on a football field right now. I don't know that I would be able to. If they came out today and say, hey, we ran the test and he's in great shape, surprisingly no damage done, and Tua's going to play next week, I don't think I could watch that game to keep it a buck with you. I don't think it's in me to watch that game, because it has gotten to the point that I am afraid of seeing something really bad happen to Tua Tagovailoa. Dolphins fall to the Bills last night. 31-10 is your final. Let's go to item number 2. MLB, we got some baseball games coming up today. A couple of them very impactful. We start in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The New York, in Boston. No, it's not. What is wrong with you? It's the other New York team, you big fat dummy. The New York Mets are on the road at Philadelphia today. 6:40, Jose Quintana takes on Aaron Nola. 40 minutes later, in Atlanta, Georgia, Spencer Schwellenbach will take to the bump for the Atlanta Braves. As the Bravos host the Dodgers, Landon Knack is your starter this evening for the LA Dodgers. Now, interestingly enough, Atlanta, because numbers don't make sense, is actually favored in this game over the Dodgers. They are -110 favorites in this one. The New York Mets, +160 dogs on the road at Philly. These two games, if you are a Braves fan, are the two most impactful games on the day today. And this is not something that I say very often, if ever, But if you are a Braves fan, you are openly rooting for the Philadelphia Phillies tonight. We are in crunch time. If the Braves are going to make a postseason run, it's got to begin by locking up that final wild card spot. If they're going to lock up that final wild card spot, they've got to make up ground on the New York Mets, currently one full game ahead of the Atlanta Braves, both in the division and for that final wild card spot. Should the Braves find a way behind Spencer Schwellenbach to get the win tonight? And should the Phillies find a way to get it done against the Mets? You could wake up tomorrow with one of three realities if you're a Braves fan. Reality one, Braves win, Mets lose. The Atlanta Braves are now back to tied for the final wildcard spot with the Mets going into Game 2 against the Dodgers and Game 2 against the Phillies. Should the Braves win and the Mets win, everything stays the same. You would be a game back. Should the Mets win and the Braves lose, the Braves would then be two games back, still with three more games in a four-game set against the LA Dodgers to go through the weekend and into next week. I am simply going to say what I said earlier in the week. If at any point this divisional race ends up seeing the Braves down two games to the Mets, I don't think they can win the third wild card spot. If the Braves at any point up until their three-game set against the New York Mets, which is the second-to-last series of the MLB's regular season for Atlanta, they will have one more at home against the Kansas City Royals, a wild card team out of the National League, before the season comes to its conclusion. If the Braves go into that series against the Mets down two games, I don't think they can get it done. All right. So these next three games, very impactful. First pitch for Atlanta tonight at 7:20. First pitch for the Phillies and the Mets tonight at 6:40 in Philadelphia. Again, the only good news you get is that Atlanta's schedule through the conclusion of the regular season is a little bit easier than the Mets. The Mets still have seven games against the Phillies. The Braves have four against the Dodgers, three against Cincinnati, three against Miami, three against New York, three against Kansas City. Let me be real clear. It is an easier end to the schedule than the Mets. It is not easy. The Braves have one of the most difficult final stretches of the regular season in Major League Baseball. And pardon me, if they want a shot, they cannot do worse than split with the Dodgers and hope the Phillies give you a little help. At this point, the best thing in the world for Atlanta would be for the Philadelphia Phillies to just run away with like a 15-game divisional lead. We'll talk more baseball later on in the week, later on next week, Monday and Tuesday, when we return from the weekend and get our results. Let's go to item number three. Sometimes, goofy stuff makes the water cooler cheat sheet because the goofy stuff is entertaining. So let's do that here. Two stories that I am adding into the mix because I adore them both. Let's start with a story from Major League Baseball. The Minnesota Twins have released a minor league catcher from their low A affiliate. His name is Derek Bender. Derek Bender was cut loose from the Minnesota Twins. Why, you might ask? Well, Derek Bender apparently really, really, really wanted to go home. My dude.
How's that immature?
My dude was done with the season. He wanted to go home. He was down in Fort Myers, Florida, where he was playing for the Mighty Muscles. They were taking on the Lakeland Flying Tigers.
I think you're guessing.
No, I'm not.
Okay, the Flying Tigers thing. You looked a little...
I was trying to write the top of my brain without having to go dig through all my show prep because, I'm ready for the show to be over and I want to go home. Mr. Bender...
Sorry for that.
Playing catcher, decided, yeah, that's enough baseball for this year. This is a sixth round pick that was expected to have a future with the Twins, but decided he was done with the single A season, was ready to call it a season, so he was just straight up telling the away team batters what pitches were coming. He ended up helping them to put away a number of consecutive games over the Fort Myers Mighty Muscles and sent them out of the playoffs after they had, just a few weeks ago, a 6-game lead in their division to get into the playoffs. He helped them not do that because he wanted to go home. And I'm simply going to say, his low A contract was paying him $280,000 a year, with the possibility of being called up at any given point to double A to triple A, maybe to the show one day, because there is a very good chance that the Twins will need sometime in the very near future.
I had all kinds of jokes, but 280,000?
Yep.
That's how much you can make for being, okay.
That's how much you can make if you are a high draft pick in the MLB. Most guys playing minor league ball ain't making 280K.
Okay, because I thought, you know, I've seen movies and stuff that make it look like, you know, minor league players don't make anything.
Most minor league players aren't making anywhere close to that, but most minor league players aren't highly touted draft picks that are expected to be somebody. He was. So my dude has been cut by the team. I can go ahead and tell you, there's not a ton of cardinal sins that you can commit that will get a team or a league to immediately give up on you. This one is. And real quick before we get out of here, I'm going to go subsection B of item number 3 on the water cooler cheat sheet. San Francisco Giants starting pitcher Logan Webb blew a 3-0 National League lead in the bottom of the third inning in the All-Star game, an All-Star game that many National League fans, myself included, got excited because I thought, oh, this is it. We finally got those dastardly American leaguers. The NL going to get the win. And then Logan Webb from the Giants, who has been remarkable this year, came in and blew that lead. And everybody went, uh-oh, what's wrong with Logan Webb? Now we know the answer. Webb explained it yesterday, quote, "It was probably one of the more hungover days I've had the day of the All-Star game. I take responsibility for that. I was having a blast. It was a cool experience. I'm watching the Derby. They had a post-game player celebration like a party for the players and their families. It was in the middle of the Cowboys Stadium. Little John was DJing. It's free alcohol. I just enjoyed it. I didn't enjoy when my wife woke me up at 7 in the morning and said, hey, I got to get my makeup done right now. And I was like, oh no, this is going to be a long day. And it was a long day. I was nervous. I was excited. I had a lot of Red Bulls. I got Tylenol because I'm trying to get the hangover out of me. I think I wasted all my good pitches in the bullpen. It was all I had, and I wasted all of them. Then I go from the bullpen, and I jog out to the mound, and the only thing I'm thinking is, don't throw up. Don't throw up. Don't throw up. Don't throw up. It's a long job. I think my first pitch almost didn't make it to the plate. I just want to say, Logan Webb, I get it, bud. Those hangovers hit different. They hit different when you're aged a little bit, Logan. What a story. Attaboy. We got more from the interview of Logan Webb, including a hilarious Blake Snell no-hitter story coming up later on in the show, The Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here, and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College game day tomorrow morning in Columbia, South Carolina precedes a showdown between the South Carolina Gamecocks and the LSU Fighting Tigers out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. The South Carolina Gamecocks have a very unique opportunity tomorrow. The South Carolina Gamecocks tomorrow with a win can stay on top of the Southeastern Conference standings. They are squarely planted at number one right now. Granted, it's because they're the only team in the SEC that has played and won an SEC game, but who the hell cares about that? Print the t-shirts.
I was gonna say, number one. Quit throwing shade on that. I mean, they have that for now.
For now. Could have it for 2 weeks.
They could.
With a win over LSU. Yesterday evening, our buddy Carter B., who has been a fill-in host on this station many, many times. Carter B. runs an LSU-themed podcast down in Louisiana. And he called me up and said, do you mind coming on and talking some Gamecock football with me? I said, nah, be happy to. I love talking ball with anybody who wants to talk ball. So I sat on an LSU podcast, and we took some questions about the team from LSU fans and all that and got into a conversation. And he said, What is the feeling about Shane Beamer right now amongst Gamecock fans? And I'll give you what I told Carter B. and see if South Carolina fans out there amongst the Armada agree or disagree with me. What I told Carter B. was that South Carolina fans feel, and I think correctly so, that Shane Beamer is without a doubt one of the best culture-building coaches in college football right now. Shane Beamer has done a phenomenal job at making SC stand out. Shane Beamer has done a phenomenal job of getting guys who want to be there, of getting guys who have bought in, of getting the fan base to completely recommit after the Muschamp debacle. I feel like Shane Beamer is recognized, and correctly, rightly, justifiably so, as one of the best culture-building coaches today in college football. And then I said to Carter Bryant, however, at some point, South Carolina fans are going to need to see a transition to where we don't just have a great culture, but we're putting dubs on the record books too. You missed the bowl game last year, and you can chalk it up to a lot of injuries, and you can chalk it up to whatever you want to chalk it up to. Chalk it up to guys like Juice Wells, who kind of screwed you a little bit, if you want to chalk it up to that. There's a lot of different things that we could say caused it, but it is what it is. This game, to me, feels like it's got additional weight. It's not just a game that is mucho importante because of the weight that it carries within the conference. As I said last week, I didn't think that there was a bowl game in the future if you lose to Kentucky. I think the Kentucky game was a must win if South Carolina is going to find their way back into a bowl game. You did get that win. I can now go one step further. If South Carolina beats LSU, I'm pretty comfortable saying there will be a bowl game. You beat LSU, you're going bowling. I don't see a way. There's not four more wins if you can knock off LSU. And when I look at LSU, I see a team that is good. Don't for a second let the guard down. They're 1-1. They lost to a good USC team, or at least a USC team that came out of the gate real hot. If you beat LSU, tomorrow, I think a bowl game becomes almost inevitable at that point. But what I said about Shano was that tomorrow we get a real good feel, I think. Because, again, that Kentucky game, to me, we've talked about this a number of times, that Kentucky game is a rivalry game to me now. Wonderful job building up a group of dudes who were very excited to go to Kentucky and knock off a team and a coach that ran smack about theirs. My question mark now becomes, can you take that same energy, excitement, enthusiasm, efficiency, execution?
You're missing a word, momentum, because this team, for the first time in a while, and I know it's only two games, has momentum. And the momentum can make you maybe excel in places where you normally wouldn't have or where you shouldn't have. And I think they have momentum. If they beat LSU, so you're going to discount their chance at beating some other teams they shouldn't beat?
No, quite the opposite. Quite the opposite. There will be, or I would expect there to be, if you lose to LSU, probably two more games, Wofford being one, maybe just one, and Akron being one. Two more games where South Carolina is a favorite and expected to win. Two. There are two more. You beat LSU, now all of a sudden, some of those other games that you might have been expected to lose, some of those other games might be a little bit more, have a little bit more of a feel of toss-up, right? All of a sudden, because like Vanderbilt beat Texas A&M. I can't say that
Vanderbilt's better than South Carolina. Can you say that?
I would be comfortable saying South Carolina's better than Vanderbilt, but if you asked me to handicap that game, I'd honestly say South Carolina like -3.5, which is not what it should be, right? So you beat LSU, a top 16 team, by the way, when these two teams get together tomorrow night. Now, listen, you're still going to be dogs to Ole Miss. You're still going to be dogs to Alabama. You're still going to be a dog. Actually, you may not even be a dog to Oklahoma at that point, right? You wouldn't be a dog to A&M. I think you'd probably be a level football game. You'd be a favorite to Vandy. Mizzou, I don't know where you'll be at that point. Because like I said, I don't believe in Missouri. I think Missouri is falling apart at some point. You'd be favored over Wofford. And I'll keep it a buck. You beat LSU. Unless Clemson is going to start appy stating everybody they play, you'll be a level draw with Clemson in that final game as well. This game to me carries a metric bleep load of weight, not just for the South Carolina season, but to Shane Beamer as well. It carries a lot of weight because I think if he's able to navigate this one and get the best of Brian Kelly, I think Shane Beamer is a culture-building coach. I think that narrative might go away. Now, I'll tell you who I'm leaning on. I got to see what Dow Loggins does in this game as the OC, right? Are you going to lean on what worked for you last week? Are we going to see the same Lenora Sellers that recognize that? You know whose game I compared him to on the pod last night? Lamar's. Not that he's as good as Lamar Jackson, because very few quarterbacks are. But what I saw out of Kentucky was a quarterback who went, instead of going, read one, it's not there, run. I saw a quarterback who read his progressions. Receiver run, receiver two, receiver three, receiver four, back to receiver one, nobody's open, now I'm going to go. And the reason you go after you read the progression, and this is something that it took a long time for Lamar Jackson to realize, recognize, and to move forward. Lamar came to the realization eventually that if he goes through his reads, if he goes through his progression, if he gets to receiver four and then back to one and nobody's open, what's that mean? It means there's additional defenders back there, right? It means that there is more locked in on stopping the receivers, which means there is less locked in on paying attention to him. This is something that I would coach every quarterback with legs to do. You cannot understate how much better your running numbers are if you actually play pocket passer quarterback before you lean on the legs. You cannot understate how many more opportunities are going to come your way to run successfully. You cannot understate how easy it will be, how much easier it will be to run the ball if you go through your progression. Because if they have defenders that are keyed in on you, those are defenders that are not guarding against your passing attack. And if they have defenders drop back to defend against the pass, that means it's going to be, there's less guys locked in on you, so you take off running, there's one or two less tacklers out there. And I saw that out of Lenoris. But my question is, do we see that same approach out of the play calling this weekend? Do we see a genuine schemed passing attack against LSU that makes LSU keep extra defenders back? Or do you call a series of plays where you lean on Lenoris Sellers athleticism, which allows LSU to play up and more aggressive? If you do that, you're in a world of trouble. World of trouble. All right, we're going to talk more about this game later on because Kirk Herbstreit had something to say about it. I got that audio. I'll play for you later on in the show, as well as some more comments from Pat McAfee. He's hyped about this game. And I'm real intrigued by it. Big pressure spot for Shane Beamer. Prove to me that you're not just a culture building guy, that you can now translate those culture improvements to wins and losses. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. So what's the impact of this game tomorrow? Taking place in the Cola, Columbia, South Carolina. The LSU Fighting Tigers coming to town, being hosted by the Gamecocks of South Carolina. We spent some time this week. I've gone over it a couple of times. Talking about what the off-the-field impact is. The off-the-field impact as far as a wonderful opportunity to get more eyeballs on your product. And I don't think that can be understated. We have said for a while that, especially in the NIL era, visibility matters, right? And this is something that, and I'm not going to hang on this. I'm coming to the on-the-field stuff here in just a minute, but I just want to get this out of the way. Visibility matters. Even if you're talking about an NIL kid, because, you know, if an NIL kid was to go play in a place that doesn't really care all that much about football, the NIL opportunities aren't there, right? So even if you're getting a kid who wants to play for your school, but he also wants to take advantage of NIL opportunities, you got to make sure your football program is visible both in your community and as nationally as is possible. That's the type of opportunity that you have in Columbia, South Carolina. And you know, we've talked in the past about what schools are helped the most and what schools are hurt the most by NIL. I can give you an example, right? The Syracuse Orange, all due respect to my folks out there listening right now that are Orange fans. I've been up to New York a number of times.
Wait. Really?
Yes.
No. I know you've been there, but I mean, there are Syracuse Orange fans around here.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
You know one of them personally. Is a friend of the show, as a matter of fact.
It's about as far-fetched as fairies.
There are Syracuse Orange fans out there, and I've had this conversation with a couple of them in the past. I've been to New York a couple of times. College football just doesn't register there, all right? It registers, but it's not anywhere close to what it is here in terms of impact. And I know that because I was on a show last weekend with a bunch of New Yorkers, and when I told them that my wedding was on a Saturday during college football season— and that, you know, it was something that I understand. I've had two people tell me that they can't make it. All right. And while neither of them has said it directly, dollars to donuts. Texter just said, I'm an Orange fan when they play Clemson. Dollars to donuts.
Hey, me too. So I guess I was wrong.
There you go. Dollars to donuts. These two individuals I'm thinking of out of the off the get. These people aren't coming to the wedding because they're going to college football games. Okay? When I told these people in New York how guilty I felt that I've been spending years on the radio saying hashtag in fall weddings and then I'm having one. And I don't care. All right? I don't care because it's what the lady wants and she's getting what she wants. Mama gets what she wants. All right? It didn't register to them. It's just not that big up that way. Right? And so if you are a...
Maybe love is bigger to them. Maybe
love?
Love is bigger. So love above football.
No,
maybe,
it ain't
maybe
that.
Maybe that's what it is.
It ain't that, because if I'd have had that game, if I had that wedding on a Sunday during NFL season, they would have felt the way that most people down here feel about it being on a Saturday in college season. But what I'm saying about a situation like that is if you're going to a place like Syracuse where, yeah, sure, there's Orange fans, but like it ain't as visible, the NIL opportunities just aren't going to be there the way they are at other schools.
Isn't Syracuse undefeated?
Yeah, they knocked off Georgia Tech this past weekend.
And they have this quarterback.
Kyle McCord, former Ohio State Buckeye.
Oh, yeah.
Good player, good team, new head coach in Fran Brown, who I would go to war for. Got the chance to meet him at the ACC Media Days. I bought in immediately, liked this guy a lot. So that's the kind of opportunity you take advantage of if you got LSU coming to town, if you're hosting College Game Day, if your team is playing the national noon game that everybody's going to have on the big screen. That's a huge opportunity. What's the opportunities as far as on the football field? I gave you one in the last segment. This is an opportunity for Shane Beamer to look at and tell them this is not just a surface level program. And, you know, I say all the time, I'm never going to blow smoke up your skirt. I'm never going to smooch up to your team. I'm going to tell you how it is, right? I've taken a lot of crap from Clemson fans over the years for telling you that, you know, outside of the Clemson fan base, Dabo is looked at as kind of a yokel, kind of hokey. In fact, in a lot of places, he's looked at as a fraud, all right? But that doesn't matter. It should only matter how you look at him and how he performs to your expectations. I will tell you, South Carolina fans, right now, outside of the COLA, outside of our area, Shane Beamer, friend of the show, is largely looked at as a fraud, all right? He's looked at as a guy who got the job because of nepotism. He's looked at as a guy who is held on to this positioning because of his ability to gain publicity, not because of success. And I don't think it's unfair to say a guy who won 6 games in year 1, took a step back in year 2 and won 5 games, and came into this year with the expectation of getting to 500. There's a lot of people outside of this market. I'm a nationally syndicated radio host. I know. There's a lot of people outside of this market who look at Shane Beamer as a bit of a fraud. And this game, to me, is maybe the best opportunity that Shano has had and maybe will have to beat that rap, to show there is progress. There are steps forwards. We are now capable of competing. Listen, I'm not sitting here telling you that LSU is amongst the cream of the crop here in the SEC. They're not. They're good. But they're steps back from where they were with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and you know, half the wide receivers in the NFL. They're a step back from that. They are still very good. They are still a playoff caliber team. And by the way, LSU with the loss to USC in opening week, now with a chance to lose to another USC. They lose this game, they're probably out of the playoff hunt. Okay? This game matters to them a lot. You're going to get the best LSU's got, I think. You win this game, I think it goes a long, long way to helping Shane Beamer establish himself as a legitimate head coach, not a guy who's running a circus. And I can't tell you how important I think that is. If Shane Beamer goes out there and they X and O their way to a win over a top 16 team, and yes, it's at home, you're on a national level with the eyes of the nation staring down the barrel at you, you go win this game against LSU, and I think the way that Shane Beamer is looked at nationally changes. I think the narrative around Shane Beamer changes, and if the narrative around Shano changes, even though recruiting's been good, watch that. Watch what that does for recruiting. Watch what happens when you can suddenly put Shane in the same vein of discussion as, and I don't know if this is fair or if this is a reach, but I don't think it would be unfair. Watch what happens when you can put Shane Beamer into a conversation, maybe not with Kalen DeBoer and Kirby Smart, but when you can put him into a conversation with Brian Kelly, when you can put him into a conversation with Eli Drinkwitz, when you can put him into a conversation with Mike Elko, when you can put him into the same breath, the same conversation with coaches who have got teams that are on the verge of joining the upper echelon of the SEC, not have him down in the second tier conversation, which respectfully, outside of our area right now, he is. This is a prove-it game for Shane Beamer. It's a prove-it game that this isn't just about the dressing. This isn't just about a dog and pony show. This isn't just about looking good and getting social media views. This is about making South Carolina look more like a football program than it has in a very long time. You look like you were shaking your head at me there for a second. Great one.
Oh, no, no. You were talking about how Shane Beamer isn't recognized, but you've also played a bunch of Pat McAfee stuff. Last I checked, he was like the most popular sports
correct guy. And what's he said about Shane Beamer? Not a word. Not a word. You know what he's talked about? You know what he and Herbie have been talking about? The fans, the environment, the crowd, the stadium, Willie B, the noise, the hype, right? I haven't heard, and this is the interesting spot. I've heard McAfee and the guys talk about Brian Kelly. I've played you probably four clips from his show this week where they talk about South Carolina. How many times have you heard Shane's name? Zero. Not one.
All I know is my very first sports show, which I did for 14 years, was the South Carolina Gamecock football show. And so I will always pull for the Gamecocks. This is the first time in a long time that I'm kind of excited because and I'm excited because of the defense. And I believe Lenore Sellers is going to be really good by the end of the year. He progressed from week one to week two. If he continues to progress, who knows how good he could be by the end of the season. But if that defense is for real, the defense that showed up the first two games, then they have the potential to win more games than a lot of people expect them to. And I just have a quiet excitement, if that's even a possibility. It's just building up back there like, hey, this team may actually be able to do some things this year. Not win the SEC, but be competitive in every game they're in, which is something they haven't been able to say for a while.
I don't disagree with any of that, and I do want to be clear. Telling you what the narratives and the consequences of a game are is not the same as being like, oh, I'm down on them. It's not. I hope they win. Do you understand how much? If they beat LSU this weekend and they go to 3-0 and top the SEC, I'm getting calls to go on nationally syndicated radio show to tell everybody what the Gamecocks are. It's great for me.
But it also makes home life better.
It also makes home life much better. If Mama's a happy Gamecock on Saturday afternoon, Robbie B's a happy soon-to-be-married man on Saturday afternoon. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, you get my drift, all right? So, yeah, I got all the reasons in the world. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to tell you from a neutral standpoint in the middle what the consequences of this game are. And the consequences for Shane are you go from being a guy that is looked at as a showman to a guy that is looked at as a serious head coach. And that's the national narrative right now. And I promise you, when you go talk to a kid in South Georgia, or you go talk to a kid out in Oklahoma, or you go talk to a kid up in New York that you want to come play for South Carolina, he hears the national narrative before he talks to you. He hears the national narrative before he takes that phone call from Dow Loggins or Clayton White or Shane Beamer or anybody else. He hears that national narrative. This is a game that the Gamecocks have the opportunity to change the national narrative about themselves, and I can't tell you how important that is. 71-307 text line. Start your text with Fan FAN. Got a couple in during the segment. I'll read them when we come back. We'll talk more about this game. Audio blitz coming up after Lonzo blitzes. No, don't like that. Sports flash.
Get out of my way. I'm going after the quarterback. According to Rob, who wrote the story, it was the Buffalo Bills defense, not Josh Allen, that led them to a 31-10 victory over AFC East rivals. Rob hates Josh Allen. I'm going to say it again as he leaves the room. Rob hates Josh Allen.
Fight
Allen finished the game 13-19 for 139 yards and a touchdown, while James Cook rushed for a pair of touchdowns with 78 yards on 11 carries. Dolphins Tua Tagovailoa, unfortunately, threw for an interception and left the game with another concussion. The attorneys representing former Clemson and current Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson has told media that a meeting is being scheduled with the NFL to discuss the most recent charge of sexual impropriety. He put that word in there because he thought it was struggling. He was right this time. All right, tune in tomorrow at 12:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Stetson Hatters. It's Furman versus Stetson right here on your home for Paladins football, The Fan, Upstate.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.